Blog Talk Radio.
Praise Him, join your life. We're going to do a song as a part of our worship. How many know He's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Without grumbling. That's what it's dealing with. Philippians chapter number 2,
you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now that you are more in my absence. Continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. As tonight we were just want to deal with how we are supposed to work out our own salvation. If you can look at somebody and tell them you got your own problems, so leave mine alone. Yeah. You got your own problems. So because you have your own problems, you need to deal with yours. Because I got problems too. Amen. That I have to deal with my own. So if I'm dealing with my own, I don't have time to deal with yours. And a lot of times we're too busy trying to deal with somebody else's problems. And we're leaving our door wide open for the enemy to come and corrupt us and to take us out and to get us the feeling as though we are not worthy. We can't do this. We can't do that. We don't want to go on because we've left the door wide open for the enemy to come in and corrupt us and to keep us from our healing, from our deliverance. Because we can't work out our own problems. We can't deal with our own selves. Amen. But we got to know how to work out our own situation. Our own salvation. Look, you can't go to heaven for me. And I'm not going to hell for you. Come on, let me say that again. You can't go to heaven for me. So why in the world would I want to go to hell for you? If you don't want to deal with your own situation, if you don't want to get yourself together, there's no way in the world I'm going to take your place. Because I'm working on mine, I'm getting my stuff in order. You think you can live off me, huh? And have a gateway to heaven because I'm getting my stuff together. No, you got to get yours together. You got to get your act right. You got to get it together. Huh? Just point at yourself and say, I got to get mine together. I got to get mine together. It says you got to work out your own salvation. For it is God who works in you and will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is working in us. He's doing something within us that he's going to fulfill his own purpose through us. And it says, verse 14, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Whatever you do for the Lord, you know who you're doing it for. So you got to do it without what? Grumbling, without arguing. When you know who you're doing it for, you don't worry about all this other foolishness. You ain't trying to argue with nobody who's right, who's better. They ain't grumbling, they ain't doing that, I'm not doing all this, you grumble. No, you're doing it because you're doing it for the Lord. And you're working, his purpose is being worked through you. Amen. Working out our own salvation first. You got to work on you first. Because guess what? You can't help anybody else when you messed up. One problem that I found that plagues the body of believers sometimes is that we try to help somebody else when we messed up ourselves. How you going to help somebody else when you are hurting and you hadn't been delivered, you hadn't got over that pain and that hurt, and you're trying to help somebody else and they feel just like you feel because you're giving them the wrong information. No, you're giving them what you feel in your hurt. But when you got over that, when you've been healed from that and delivered from what you've gone through, now you can help somebody and let them know, yes, this is what I went through, but while you're going through something, you're trying to help somebody and you're not even thinking properly. You're not even thinking right. So now you're giving them advice and information that's going to cause them to go in a deeper rut. You got to work out your own first. You got to get delivered first. Let the healing begin in you first. You know what you heal, because when you heal from something, you can look at it and go through it and walk through it, and nothing bother you. You can still give God glory for it. It don't bother you now how folk look at you. Don't bother you what folks say about you anymore. Because you've been healed from that. You've been delivered from that. Now, you don't cry over the same spoiled milk. Yeah, it could be spoiled now, but you don't cry over it anymore. Because you've been healed from that. You've been delivered from that. Working out our own salvation first, as Jesus put it, first remove the plank from your own eye. Get that stuff out of your eye first. I believe we started on this last week. Let's go back, Matthew chapter number 7. Get that stuff out of your eye, that plank out of your eye first. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. Are you there? Well, God says in Matthew 7, verse 1, do not judge, or you will be judged. Don't you judge, because you're going to be judged. Well, how am I going to be judged if I judge somebody? In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. First of all, don't go in there trying to judge folk, trying to act like you're better than somebody, because the same way you judge somebody, the same way it's going to be judged to you. Whatever you put out is going to be brought back to you. And a lot of people don't realize that or understand that. They want to overlook that. But now, because we've been judging people and we done put out all stuff and all manner of measurement among people, now it's coming back on us. And now we've been judged and looked at the same way we looked at somebody else. And the folk are now looking at us the same way. Now we trying to figure out, why you looking at me like that? Did not you look at somebody else like that? Did not you say somebody else was no good? Now somebody telling you, you're not no good. Yeah, you're no good now. Did not you say somebody else was a liar? You always lying. Now they're looking at you saying, you always lying. You ain't nothing but a liar. Did not somebody, you say, well, look at them, they're a cheater, they're just a big cheater. Now somebody looking at you saying, look at you cheating. Now I'm right here. Yeah, look what you say, it don't take long for it to come back. Yeah, you've got the worst children, bad children. Your children are so bad. Your children always in trouble. Your children always going through some stuff, but now your children going through. Your children in trouble. Your children messed up. But now you looking at why they talking about my kids. And we got to get to the point where we can't even say, look, my children don't do nothing. My children, they so such angels. They don't get in no trouble. They are angels. Yeah, I know you want them to be angels. They may be an angel around you. But once they get out of your sight, they become devils. Come on. We don't know. They can change. They can change. Why do we do that? Because we're too busy, number three, saying we're looking at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye. We're too busy picking out the little small things, the small issues, the small problems, the small difficulties, the little buds. The sawdust, We're too busy. We can find all the little small things about somebody that's not right. I'm talking about, you can see it. You got an eagle's eye. Oh, man. You can see that issue miles away. in somebody else. But you standing right there in the mirror and can't see nothing. You can't see nothing about yourself. And you standing right there looking at you. Because you're paying no attention to the point that's in your eye. A big old problem you looking at. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that today. I'm good. But I turn and I look and see everybody's problem in my family. And I can point out every issue that's in my house. This is what your problem is. This is what your problem is. This is why you're going through what you're going through. This is why you're going through what you're going through. Until you get this together. Until you get that together. And your whole life falling apart. You're too busy trying to figure out, well, how in the world, why am I going through this? What's happening now? This going, I got to deal with this. I got to deal with that. I don't have money for this. I don't have money for that. Because you're too busy knowing them problems. You're too busy knowing his problem. You're too busy knowing their problem. But you're not admitting to your own. You're not admitting that you have an issue. You have a problem yourself. Are you with me? Oh, yeah. You too busy looking at the little speck of dust in somebody else's eye. You can't even see the plank that's in your own. You paying it no attention of what you got to deal with. That's it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. You're in denial. You're denying that you have issues, that you have problems. You're in denial. I'm good. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. I'm fire baptized. Look, I'm good. My life is in order. Everything is working out for me, for my good. You know, you try to get so spiritual, or things are just working out for my good. I'm just going through this here right now, but it's working out for my good. In the morning, I ain't going to cry. Ain't no need to worry what the night going to bring, because in the morning it's going to be all over. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. I'm talking about we just get so spiritual right then and there, because we can't even admit that we really have problems. We want to stay in denial. How can you say to your brother, verse 4, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your eye? Let me tell you how to deal with your problem. Let me tell you how to work on your marriage. And yours, all seven of yours messed up. Let me tell you how to keep a job. And you sitting home on the couch. Come on. Let me tell you how to be a leader and nobody's following you. Let me tell you what I would do. How I would handle this. Let me tell you how to bake this cake and all yours fall. Come on. How can you say to your brother? I'm in the Bible. I'm in verse 4, chapter number 7 of Matthew. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your very own? Watch this. Because your problem is a whole lot bigger than your brother's. Your issue is so much larger than your neighbor's. And that's the reason why you don't want to deal with it. Because because it's too much for you. Well, if it's too much for you, turn it over to the Lord. You think you can help somebody else because yours is too big. And the only thing you're doing is just letting yours get a little bigger. Because you refuse to deal with it. When you don't deal with little small issues, they have the tendency of growing and becoming a lot bigger and larger. So now it takes a lot longer to resolve certain things because you let it get too big. In other words, come on, let me give you another revelation. In other words, you got to handle certain things while they're small. Because when they get too big, it's out of your hand. Are you with me? Huh? Because now when you do this, when you try to direct somebody else that got small issues, little problems, little things that, you know, it don't take much, and you got something so large and huge in your life, and you're trying to help somebody else because you done let yours expand and haven't dealt with it, now you're trying to help somebody deal with theirs. Now look what they said there in verse number 5. I didn't write it. It was already here before I got here. I didn't print it. It was already printed before I even know what printing was. It says, you hypocrite. You a hypocrite. You trying to tell me how to handle this small thing. And you had a small thing at one point in time in your life. Now yours have exploded. You couldn't handle yours. Look how big your problem is now. Okay, you trying to tell me how to handle this little bit of debt, this $200 debt. And yours $20,000. You couldn't handle the 200. Now you had 20,000. So how you gonna tell me how to handle this 200? And you let yours get that far? No, tell me how you gonna handle that 20,000. What, in other words, what's your plan? Maybe I can help you, but I can see a little bit further than you right now. Well, I just got a little speck. You got a big old point, so I can see a lot further than what you can see right now. Maybe I can help you. You always did what was right. I ain't never did nothing. I never got in trouble. Come on. I never got a whipping in my life that you can remember. Now come on. Because somewhere down the line, somebody done spanked your hand or spanked you on the bottom, somewhere down the line, you got something that was considered discipline. That you can remember. Once you got old enough to remember some things, come on. And even when you was little, you don't remember everything you went through when you was 2. I know you start pulling stuff off the counter and off the tables and you got popped. And y'all ain't talking. You got something. Yeah, you got something in your life because you did something. Everybody have done something. But now we get to the point where we get so saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, Bible told, scripture quote, cross wearing. We think that because of that we can tell everybody what they're doing wrong, and like we never did anything wrong. Or like we're not doing anything wrong still now today. Hmm? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stuff. The clothing is different. The clothing is different in this time. Huh? The clothing back then, you know, in some of you all's time, back in the 60s, was bell bottoms and tights. They were still tight. Huh? But the bottoms was bell. Come on. Then it went the Daisy Duke. And everybody thought that they could wear Daisy Duke. Come on. But now we want to criticize somebody now for them wearing spandex. Now, there are some things of history that some folk don't understand, new styles that they have, and we try to explain to them a certain way of wearing certain things. There's a certain way, reason why people wear certain things a certain way. But folk don't worry about that. They look at, no, that just look cool. We got to work out our own. See, they're going to have to work theirs out just like we had to work ours out. Sometimes it's going to take them to get chafed. Y'all ain't talking. They're going to have to get some type of something, you know, to say, okay, I can't wear this that tight no more. You got to work out your own salvation. All of a sudden, all these rashes and stuff all up on between your legs and everything, all this stuff scrubbing, you got to work out your own salvation. Yeah, I got to be real with you. You too busy got to get all kind of powder to put down there now, you know, all kind of stuff to, you know, have try to help you out now. Come on. I see a whole lot of, because you want to be, sometimes folks just want to be so fine. You want to be seen, but then when folk look at you, what you looking at me for? Why you looking at me? Why you looking down there? Why you got that on like you got it on? Okay, then y'all need to tell somebody this real Bible preacher. Come on. I don't care where you are, who you are. If you a man and a woman walk around with something so tight on that shows everything, a man gonna see that. A man is gonna look at that if they're a man. Come on, cause a woman gonna look at a man. Out of your own eye. Take it out of your your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. When you try to discipline somebody, when you try to correct somebody, make sure you got that plank out of yours first. Make sure you're practicing what you're preaching. Mm-hmm. Then you'll be able to help somebody else. But if you ain't living it, the life, don't try to correct nobody else. If you out doing everything but what you're telling them not to do, a lot of folks come in and try to be impressive. You don't need to be doing, don't you do this, don't you do that. Then you turn around, next thing you know, you done heard a story, they done got caught. Yeah, they done got caught now. When they were just telling you how wrong you are for what you're doing. How wrong you are because you was up in the club twerking. How wrong you are. Come on. But next thing you know, you see them up in the club. You see them doing everything they've been telling you not to do. You see them in the places they tell you not to go, doing the same stuff that everybody else is doing. Deal with your own salvation first. Look what it says. You ain't got time to give the dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs or swine. If everybody, and when we look at this particular setting, everybody can't receive your good deeds. Everybody's not worthy of getting the knowledge that you have because they're not going to use it properly. You can pass off some knowledge to somebody to go out and use it the wrong way. Are you here? Don't cast your pearls before swine. They're not going to respect it. They're not going to appreciate it. Some people just don't appreciate some of the stuff that you do for them. You can go out your way. You can sacrifice. And folks still just don't appreciate because they end up still doing the same old stuff. So ain't no need of you coming casting your pearl before some of those things that's so precious to you to somebody that's not only even utilize it properly. Take heed to it. You know, I'm giving you this good knowledge. I'm giving you I'm casting this anointing out over you, and you're not going to use it properly. You're just going to take it for granted, say, oh, whatever. Don't waste, watch this, yeah. Don't waste your time on people that just want to be dirty. That was a fresh revelation for somebody. That was a fresh revelation. Don't cast your pearl before swine. Don't waste your time on people that just want to stay dirty, that just want to wallow in the mud, stay in sin. Folks just want to just live in sin. Just I'm talking about, I don't care what you do, they just going to live the sinful life. They just want to stay dirty. Come on. You wasting your time. You casting your pearl before somebody that just don't want to get better. Somebody that don't want to be healed. Somebody that don't want to be delivered. Don't waste your time on folk that just don't believe, don't want to believe. Don't cast your pearl before swine. You sitting there trying to just fussing and arguing, trying to convince them. Don't waste your time. On people live a righteous life. Because holiness and righteousness is still right. Don't cast your pearl before swine. Don't give the dogs what's sacred. Huh? Why are you going to give them filet mignon?
Folks looking at you strange.
What, in come out, you can come out a high time in the Lord.
Amen.
The next thing you know, they fussing you out. How in the world can you sit up under anointing and have a high time in the Lord? Get fed this gospel. I'm talking about miracles happen in your life. Breakthroughs come. God turn things around for you. I'm talking about you're feeling good. You're in the spirit. I'm talking about you speaking in unknown tongues and languages, and you're just having a high time in the Lord. And the next moment, you blasting somebody out. Say, don't give that to them, because they will turn around and they will tear you to pieces. You got, that's why I said, someone said earlier, you got to have that discernment. And you don't have that unless you're in tune with God. When you're in tune with God, He'll give you that discernment. You can't do that. Those folk will turn around and tear you apart. They will kill your character. They will destroy you. This passage is often misused to prevent any proper judging. It emphasizes the importance of getting your own act together first. What it deals with, you got to get your own act together first. Notice that once you have removed the plank, you can then and should be used to remove the specks in somebody else's. But if we are not careful, we may lose our salvation in the way we react to others. How do you react, come on, when somebody don't tell the truth about you? We get this thing, come on, I'm going to lay my religion down. And some folks forget to go pick it back up. Come on, you just laid it down and left it. Now you done gone back. You done gone back in the world. Because you done laid it down, and watch this, you done laid it down and somebody else done snatched it up. There's folk just sitting by waiting for you to lay some stuff down so they can snatch it up. Come on, when you lay something down valuable, people are waiting for you to lay your valuables down. Anybody in here? Come on. I just can't come lay this gold watch down any kind of way place and think it's going to be there when I come back. Because it's valuable. Folk are waiting for valuable stuff because there's value in this. Come on, mess us up, Elderville. It don't mean nothing. It really don't mean nothing. It don't really mean nothing to them. It's not important to them. Because if it's important to you, you ain't going to lay it down. Not anywhere. You're going to make sure it's secure. Are you here? You just ain't going to lay down $100,000 any kind of way. You're going to make sure that it is secure. Come on, money may rather walk around with all that money. He just don't lay it around anyway. He got all kind of security. Everybody else around him, all the jewelry that they have, they just don't lay it down any kind of way. They make sure they got somebody around them watching and securing their valuables. They just, and watch this, when they take it off, they give it to somebody that they know they can trust that's going to give y'all ain't talking. Y'all think sometime when you look at us as bishops and we have on our gold crosses and our rings and everything, when we take it off, we just don't give it to anybody. come on. We give it to somebody that we know we can trust, that will guard it, because I don't cast my pearl before swine. Everybody can hold on to my garments. Just don't give it to anybody. Everybody can't be my adjutant. Everybody can't be in my circle. Because you do got some folk just waiting for you to lay some stuff down. They just want to be around you. So as soon as you lay something down, they pick it up and act like they never seen it. Where you last put it? Where you last put it? All the while, you know you got it.
Amen.
So they sit around you trying to pick up some nuggets, trying to pick up some stuff from your anointing, trying to feed off your anointing. To go and try to use it as if it's theirs. Because you lay down your valuable. You cast it upon swine. You cast it upon somebody that you should not have cast it upon. Because now they're going to go out and use it for their own good and not for the glory of God. When you cast your pearl before swine, they use it for selfishness and not for the glory of God. It's always I in it and not God. That's right. And you know how you know when you are supposed to cast your pearls and when you are supposed to give your sacredness to somebody. You know when you are supposed to do that. I'm glad you asked. Because y'all looking at me like, okay, I'm glad you asked. This is how you know when you are supposed to cast your pearls before folk. Verse number 7. It's so simple. It's very simple. Ask. God, now who deserves this? Who I need to lay hands on today? Who I need to bless today? Come on, because some cash apps you can't bless. Y'all ain't talking. Y'all just gonna drop your cash app name and don't feel like blessing it. The folk don't bless. No, some cash apps you can't bless. Come on in here. Come on, ask and it will be given to you. I told us earlier, we got to be seekers. We should always, as a body of Christ, we should always be seeking on how we can do better, how we can be better, how we can become what God is calling us to do, and that's by seeking. When you ask God, now you go and you seek, okay, who is it that deserves this blessing today? Who is it that I can do something good for? Who I'm seeking. In other words, I'm looking for somebody to be a blessing to. Somebody I need to cast these pearls upon today. I got something sacred that I need to give. Who is it? Now when you go through the process, when you ask and you go seeking, God will show you who it is. Now all you got to do now is knock. And the door will be open. When you do it the way God designed it, doors are going to open for you. Y'all missed that right there. When you do it the way God designed it, that little three-letter word, ask. Ask. Seek. Knock. designed it, doors are going to open. Let me say that again for the viewers and the listeners and the radio listeners and the Facebook viewers. When you do it the way God designed it, doors will open. Sometimes we go knocking and we're knocking at the wrong doors. Sometimes we start seeking and we're going in the wrong places. That's why when you go seeking and you find somebody you think that that's the match for you, you find out they're the bride of Chucky. Or you find out that they're Chucky himself. As they say, crazier than a bedbug. Ask. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. That's what I'm telling you. You can't get away. When you do it the way God say do it, you can't get away from it. Because we go knocking and seeking in the wrong places. That's because we hadn't asked. We try to do it backwards. Because watch this. Verse 8, and I'm closing. Verse 8, and I'm closing. Watch now what happens when we do it the way God designed it. The way God designed it for us, he says in verse 8, for everyone who asks receives. When you ask the Lord, when you ask the right person, you will receive. Some people you just can't ask for nothing. Some folks you don't want to ask for stuff. When you ask, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks, you're going to find. There's nothing that you can go looking for that you won't find when you're doing it in the order that God have designed it to be. Come on, you're looking, to be successful or prosperous. Did you ask first? Or did you just go start seeking? You ain't even asked the Lord where to go look. Okay, God, where's my success? Where do I need to go? Who is it that I need to get in touch with? Who is it that I need to search out? Proverbs said it like this, in all of our ways. You can't get it. So those of you that say I'm Old Testament, New Testament, still the same thing. Acknowledge him first. Then he will what? Direct your path. Fancy things. It catches our eye. You know, the clothes, the cars, the cash, the crib. It catches our eye. So I see a lot of time folk talking about they're looking for soulmates. They want soulmates, and I see a lot of time women they're looking, but what they're looking for, they're looking to see what you have. Huh? Can you afford me? That's why you steal by yourself. You're looking for somebody that's gonna tickle your fancy with things. Huh? What, can you afford me? No, can you afford this anointing? Can you handle this anointing? That's why folk don't have anything now, because they're seeking in the wrong place. They didn't ask. Because what you ask for, God may have you looking somewhere that you would never have looked. Because God have a tendency of having us look in strange places. How in the world are you going to go find some money in a fish mouth? You would never think to go find, look in no mouth of no fish and get no money out of it. That's strange. See, our monies is somewhere where we wouldn't even think of looking. Y'all missing that right there. God got some money for some folk in places you ain't even thinking of looking. Because it don't look rich. Huh? Come on. And when we're looking in the wrong places, because we think that what we're looking for is supposed to look like it's successful. I'm going to go find me something successful. So I'm looking for something successful. And I'm looking in the wrong places. When God said your success is walking around in flip-flops and jeans. Mm-hmm. You say, for everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Ain't no way in the world that a door will not open for you when you go in order. God is a God of order. Can I say that again? God is a God of order. Mm-hmm. And when we do things in order, we have no problem with doors being open. And I understand now. I understand why doors have not been opened, because we have not been doing things in the order in which God wants us to do it. When you look at your life and you see that a door have not been opened in an area that you desire for it to be opened, it's because you haven't done it in the order that God is directing us to do it in. That's what it says. Matthew 6:33. It tells us how we're supposed to do it. Seek him first. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. He's given us the formula, and I'm reiterating the formula that God has given us tonight. I'm reiterating that for your spirit. If you do it that way, 2019, you're talking about how the shift is on and how we're heading towards that direction. That's how the shift is on when we line up the way God is telling us to line up, by seeking him first and his kingdom. Let me say that again. Seek him first and his kingdom. then all these things gonna be added. Now, because we're seeking him first and his kingdom, now he says this is how you get doors open. Anybody here need doors open tonight? He said this is how you get the door to open. First of all, you gotta ask me. Ask me, is that the right place to go? Is that the right door? Huh? What's behind door number one? Come on, y'all. come on. You got to know which door to go to. So now I'm asking, God, I'm asking, is this the right door? Is this the right place? I'm asking now. Not because I'm asking, now I'm seeking. I'm seeking. I'm going in the right place now. What area, what parameters that I need to go to? I'm seeking. I'm seeking this knowledge. I'm seeking what I need for me to be better. I need for my anointing to even get larger. I'm seeking whatever I need for my land to increase and be enlarged. I'm seeking now because I asked you. I'm seeking that very place that I need to be, that I need to come across. Now because I'm seeking, I'm asking, then I'm seeking. Now I'm in the right direction. All I got to do is knock. Okay. Because now I'm knocking. Look, I'm ready for the door to do is open up. I'm opening up the door. The door is now opening for me. In other words, that's my opportunity now. That's my opportunity to go in and get everything that the Lord has prepared for me. So 2019, as I told us earlier, it is our season. It is the season for us to get everything that the Lord has in store for us. So first of all, we got to ask, then we go seek, and we knock. Because those that ask, you shall receive. Those that seek, you will find. And those that knock, the door will be open unto you. So when we do it in the order in which God has directed us to do it in, we can't help but be blessed, give him glory and praise, because we are now where God wants us to be. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise tonight. We're thankful and grateful once again to God and all you too to share with us tonight on our Wondrous Word broadcast, our radio broadcast, Wondrous Word broadcast, and those that's tuning in tonight with us on our Facebook Live. We thank God for you, each and every one. And to those of you here tonight on campus, we thank God for you. So we'd like you to share with us. Yeah, share with us anytime you're in the area. In the area, come and share with us at 180 Green Oak Street, Douglas, Georgia. That's the Cathedral of True Praise here. We'll be happy to have you to share in our services each week. Our services at 11:30, our worship service at 10:15, our church school. And here on Tuesday nights, we have our Bible enrichment. So we invite you to come and share with us on one of those occasions, any occasion that you're in our area. We thank all of our viewers. I hear you every time we're in the streets and you come up along me and you tell me how wonderful and grateful it is. And all of my frat brothers, you know, I got to give it out to you. They tell me that, look, we be watching. We be watching. Bishop, we enjoy it. You know, it may not seem like it, but we get a lot out of it. And other people say they enjoy the word that's coming forth, that's being brought forth. That's why we're trying to make things better and enhance it to do greater works and greater ministry. So even if you want to sow a seed into this ministry, you can sow a seed that will continue to get ministry out and move forward. A.A. Wright Ministries, P.O. Box 1468, Douglas, Georgia 31534. We'll be happy to take that seed, sow that seed in good soil. Amen. God is doing great things and marvelous things in our lives. So we thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. And we thank you and we say, come on again. We'll be back to see you the next time. God bless our viewers and bless our listeners tonight. Amen.